Classic Business with Michael Avery, sponsored by Alex Forbes, for insight, advice, and impact.
Welcome back to Classic Business. South Africa's listed property sector has been quietly rebuilding momentum, and August was no exception. SA REITs added another 2.4%, pushing year-to-date gains by the end of August to 14.2%. And just with one trading day in September to go, September is looking to end slightly in the red. That follows last year's stellar 35.8% return, putting the sector firmly back on investors' radar screens. But with equity still outpacing property this year, specifically resources and bond yields in flux, where does the opportunity really lie? To unpack the latest SRE chartbook and what it signals for the road ahead, I'm joined by Ian Anderson, as always, Head of Listed Property and Portfolio Manager at Merchant West Investments. Ian, welcome back. The last time we spoke in June, SA REITs were riding a strong recovery wave. Looking at August numbers, that's continued, another 2.4% just for the month. How would you characterize this rally so far? Is it still largely interest rate driven, or are we seeing deeper fundamental momentum taking hold?
I mean, I think the beginning of the year, and certainly towards the end of last year, it was very much about a shift in people's perceptions about where interest rates were going, where SA bond yields were going. But this year, and specifically from about the second quarter onwards, we've definitely seen a shift in momentum as fundamentals now seem to be driving a lot of the returns that we're seeing. So companies are reporting better growth in net operating income. We're seeing vacancies reduce. We're seeing market rentals rise. Obviously, there is also the benefit of lower borrowing costs. So earnings are now starting to grow. And there have been a number of very positive outlook statements released by some of the REITs over the last 2 or 3 months.
And of course, this performance, you know, if we've got to remind listeners that it comes off a very high base. And last year, we had just almost 36% return. So you highlight in the chart book that lower bond yields are reducing the cost of debt, and obviously strong share price gains are lowering the cost of equity as well. How material is that twin effect in reshaping REIT balance sheets and strategies?
Well, it's fundamental to the sector. You know, this is a capital-hungry sector. In order for them to grow externally, they have to acquire properties, they have to develop properties. So it's a sector that's always hungry for capital, whether it's equity raises that they do or whether they raise more debt. So the fact that this cost of debt is and the cost of equity is so much lower is very positive. It means that they can go out, acquire properties, develop properties that are earnings enhancing and value accretive to the sector. And it's the one piece of the puzzle that's been missing for the last 4 or 5 years. You know, they've obviously been very inwardly focused. They've been improving the quality of their existing portfolios. But now, for the first time, REITs have the opportunity to show real growth through development, through acquisitions, through redevelopment. So it's a very, very important point.
And we've seen capital raising activity pick up on the back of that. Dapula, Fairvest securing sizable funds for acquisitions. If you look at the trading updates from names like Dapula, Equites, Redefine, Octodec and Spear, they all show distributable income growth guidance of between 3-7%. It's kind of modest by historical standards, but I think meaningful in today's context. What does this tell us about the health of their portfolios and the broader, you know, tenant demand across these businesses as well?
Well, I think the ones that you've highlighted are probably the most conservative. We have subsequently seen a number of other companies come out with much more buoyant forecasts, you know, talking about 8 and 10 and possibly even more than 10% growth. So I think some of the companies that you've described there, those were results that were all updates that were released a little while ago. We are starting to now see more or growth accelerate. So I think we're probably looking, and I mean, if you look at in the chart book, the last quarter, you know, distributable income growth or dividend growth was around about 9-10%. We think that that sort of level can now be sustained for the next 2 or 3 years, maybe not quite at the 10%, but I would say somewhere between 7-10%. So I think the 4-6 or the 5-7% is now moving higher, ratcheting up to between 7% and 10%. And again, that's going to be very, very positive. And you know, it's across most of the sectors. There isn't one sector that's getting left behind. Obviously, office is coming from a very, very low base. There's a lot of momentum in community and neighborhood retail. There's still a lot of momentum in industrial warehousing. You know, there's you know, momentum in self storage. So it's you know, and there's momentum in certain geographies like the Western Cape, for example, as well.
Yeah, as we know, I mean, Spear is certainly one of our favorites here on Classic Business. I think Quinton Rossi and his team do a fantastic job, and no secrets as to why the Western Cape is attracting capital and business. You know, good governance goes where it is welcomed, and capital goes where there's good governance. Now, if we look at Growthpoint, it's interesting that you mentioned office, because in a chat with Estienne de Klerk at the recent results, who is the incoming CEO taking over from Norbert Sasser in 2026, and we've got Jose Snyder as a CFO, but he was saying he was surprised by some of the better than anticipated office performance because it has been a laggard ever since COVID. Do you think we're starting to see something of a bottoming out in office and finally a bit of that COVID hangover that we can put behind us?
Absolutely. And for a couple of reasons. I think the first one is there's just been absolutely no new office development except where it's needed. So like in Cape Town, the foreshore, et cetera. So where there's strong demand for space. So that's helping. There's been absolutely no demand in Gauteng. No new supply in Gauteng. There's been no new supply in KwaZulu-Natal or any of the other regions. So that's one aspect. I think we're at record low development activity in the office market in South Africa in the last 2 years. But I think the other reason is people are finally going back to work. You know, work from home is still a thing, and there are still businesses that allow that level of flexibility. But increasingly, we're starting to see people go back into the office, you know, maybe just 3 or 4 days a week. But, at one stage, it was maybe only 1 or 2 days a week. Mm-hmm. So increasingly, people are back in the office. People are demanding more space. It's not being driven by economic growth or increased economic activity. It's just a fact of people coming back into the office, but also there's just no new supply. And I think, as I mentioned earlier, it was the rock. It had hit rock bottom. And so it's a recovery from very, very distressed levels.
Well, but imagine then if you do start sprinkling a bit more economic growth on the sector and on this economy, what we could potentially achieve and see. And, you know, looking at the chart book, the 12-month performance, I think it's really striking. Some REITs delivered returns north of 30%. There were a few like Accelerate, which remained deeply negative. The yield differential chart shows that REIT yields have historically tracked long bond yields quite closely. Where does that differential sit today, and what does it imply for valuation support going forward?
Well, it's a lot more difficult when you try and compare today versus maybe 10 or 15 years ago, because 10 or 15 years ago, the sector invested almost exclusively in South Africa. So it was very easy to draw a comparison between the bond yields in South Africa and property yields because the properties were all in South Africa. Now, the vast majority of properties are actually outside of South Africa. So more than 50% of the sector's exposure is outside of South Africa. So I think those bond yields, and this is maybe the point I want to make, is that South African bond yields have actually fallen about 300 basis points in the last 2 or 3 years. And we haven't seen that same level of improvement in property yields. So it's one of the reasons why I remain optimistic about the outlook for the sector. We've got much lower bond yields, and they keep going lower. And yet we haven't seen the full impact of those lower bond yields on the South African listed property sector. So I think there's still room for a re-rating, although we're not sort of baking it into any of our forecasts. You know, we're predicting sort of 12 to 15% returns, a function of the dividend yield plus the growth that they're likely to experience in those dividends. But there's got to be potential for a positive re-rating just simply because of where bond yields are today.
Yeah, it's a very persuasive argument. And you have suggested in the chart book that the sector is now positioned to deliver double-digit total returns going forward. Finally, I mean, Ian, if you're just looking at the sector now again, and for investors who may have been burned in previous cycles and might be hesitant to re-enter property, what's your strongest argument that South Africa's REITs deserve a place back in portfolios today? And what are you seeing in September? September, it was quite surprising that, you know, the property market seemed to come off the boil a little.
Absolutely. So September is very surprising, given once again, South African bond yields keep falling. So you would have, you know, if that relationship holds true, we should have seen an improvement in or continuation of the trend that we've seen this year and listed property prices rising. So I think the argument that I would make is that I think, as you mentioned, a lot of people have been burned. I think a lot of people just don't even bother looking at listed property anymore. But over the last 4 or 5 years since COVID, the sector has done a significant amount of work to improve the quality of their balance sheets, to improve the quality of their property portfolios, to strengthen their management teams and governance, because that was always an issue for the listed property sector, particularly after what happened in 2018 with the Resilient Group of companies. But all of those things now are moving in the right direction. And then I think there's a whole lot of tailwinds, you know, lower bond yields, lower interest rates, an improvement in fundamentals. All of these are working in favor of the listed property today. And I think if you add the yield that you get from the sector to the expected growth in dividends, you know, that total return is going to be quite a lot higher, in my opinion, than what you'd get from the bond market. Obviously, it's difficult to compare it to the equity market, which today is being driven, you know, almost exclusively by the precious metal sector. I think if it wasn't for the golds and platinum stocks, you know, our market probably would even be up this year. And then property would really look like a standout performer. But obviously, that's not the case. But I do still think that there is significant upside potential for the listed property sector, mainly as a result of the growth that we're going to see in earnings over the next 2 to 3 years. And it should comfortably outperform the bond market.
That was Ian Anderson giving us a timely look into the state of South Africa's REIT sector. The message, I think, absolutely crystal clear. Lower funding costs, renewed capital flows, and modest but meaningful earnings growth are setting the stage for sustained double-digit returns, provided, obviously, that the macro winds don't shift markedly. And I think for investors, it's less about the sector being back and more about how to position smartly for the next phase of growth. Stay tuned. More Classic Business after this.
Classic Business with Michael Avery, sponsored by Alex Forbes, for insight, advice, and impact.